let's define a cataract. A lot of people think a cataract is like a little film on the surface of the eye that we can simply scrape off. But it's actually the lens of the eye behind the iris. So you have the cornea, the pupil opening in the iris, and then the lens. And the lens has basically three structures. There's a plastic sort of membrane that goes around the lens, sort of like saran wrap. That's the anterior and posterior capsule. The nucleus is the firm part of the lens in the center. And then there's soft material called the cortex. And we'll go over this when we show you an edited cataract surgery. So when the lens is clear, we all see great. And when it gets cloudy, the vision is distorted and gets blurred. And if you live long enough, we're all going to have a cataract. So that's something that we're going to expect. I hope you all get cataracts, because if you do, that means you live a long life. So here's an example of a normal, nice, clear pupillary area, and then a cloudy area from a cataract. Here's a dense posterior subcapsular cataract. You can imagine trying to look through that. And so 50% of the people in the 50 to 60 age range are going to have a cataract. And not all cataracts, of course, need surgery. So we have patients that we've watched their cataracts for 20 years and still haven't operated on them, because these early aging changes are little opacities in the periphery of the lens. They don't necessarily lead to loss of vision. So if you're being told you need cataract surgery and you don't have any complaints about your vision, get another opinion. Because we see a lot of that, unfortunately. People told that they need surgery before they actually need to do it. So this is going to be a little edited video of a cataract operation. There's no blood here, so I think your stomach will take this. So we've already torn the front circular tear in the lens, and this is injecting salt water to loosen the lens and to separate this golden ring as the nuclear part of the lens. And you can see it spinning around, and there's a lot of ways to get this out. So the technique that you're going to see here is called a tilt and tumble technique, where we just press on the nucleus, and you'll see it come up here. And so this is the firm part of the lens that we're going to emulsify. Now, there's a lot of confusion thinking that we do this basically with a laser. We're not doing it with a laser yet, although this year we're going to start. This is an emulsifier. It's basically a little miniature jackhammer, and the nucleus is sucked into this vibrating tip. This is monitoring the energy, and these are the settings on the instrument. And the nucleus is basically being emulsified, broken up into small pieces, and taken out of the eye. And this typically takes a minute or two of this emulsification part of the firm part of the lens. And once the nucleus is out, this is taking out the soft cortical material. And one of these has fluid going in, and the other one is an aspiration port. And we're sucking out the soft part of the lens. So then you're left with an empty capsular bag. So we had a front capsule that was torn, circular tear in that. The nucleus and the cortex are removed with these instruments, leaving an empty bag. Now, if you just quit the operation at that point, you would need very strong glasses. And 30 years ago, people had real thick glasses, those so-called Mr. Magoo glasses, to take the place of the lens that we removed. But for about the last 30 years, we've been putting implants in the eye. So this is an implant folded up, injected into the eye where it unfolds. And then once the lens is unfolded, basically the surgery is complete. This is done through a 3-millimeter incision, so it doesn't need sutures. When Dr. Nesbitt and I started doing this, we used to put in 10 or 12 sutures to close the incision, because it was a 12-millimeter incision. Now it's less than a 3-millimeter incision, which is less than a quarter of an inch. And that surgery is over. This was called a standard monofocal implant that was implanted, and this is the position of that lens in the eye. And we're going to talk later about some of the advances. We have other kinds of implants that can be put in the eye to correct not only the distance vision, we can correct astigmatism, we can put bifocal kinds of implants in the eye and correct your vision for both far and near. So these are some of the options that we have now. You can correct the astigmatism at the time of cataract surgery, either with a toric implant or with incisions to correct the astigmatism. And we can reduce the need for reading glasses. One way to do that is called monovision, where one eye is implanted for reading vision and the other eye is implanted for distance vision. A lot of people have done that with contact lenses successfully, and they're good candidates for that. And then multifocal implants, there's three of these. Two of these are approved in the United States, Restore and Tecnis. And then there's a focusing lens that actually changes the shape in the eye called a crystal lens. And this year is an exciting year for cataract surgery, because we're going to start using lasers to help us with this procedure. A lot of patients think we've used lasers all along to do this, but we're not. This year, we're going to start using lasers to make the incisions and to soften the nucleus and make it easier to put in the eye. So let's talk a little bit about the astigmatism in order to correct you with a bifocal implant, you have to have minimal astigmatism if you're going to see well. Same is true of monovision. In our practice, about 25% of the patients have enough astigmatism to correct it. Now, if you have glasses for astigmatism, one option is don't do any of this fancy stuff. Just do a monofocal implant and wear your glasses. And that'll be covered by your health insurance. If you want your astigmatism corrected, you're going to be charged for that. Obama doesn't think we need to have astigmatism corrected. He thinks we need to have cataract surgery, but if you want your astigmatism corrected or you want to get rid of your glasses, you're going to have to pay a little more for that. And that fee can vary between $1,000 and $2,000 per eye. So the question is it worth spending a couple thousand dollars to get rid of a $10 pair of reading glasses that you can buy at the drugstore? That's a question for you. In other words, how much money do you want to leave to your children? That's what it really comes down to. So these are the ways we do that. We want to minimize it at the time of the cataract surgery. You can also do it, of course, with glasses after the cataract surgery, or you can have a laser-type procedure after your cataract surgery to correct your astigmatism. And that sometimes is necessary, even if the surgeon is trying to minimize your astigmatism with an implant or with relaxing incisions. We don't always hit a home run. And if you don't see perfectly and you want to see perfectly, you might need a laser touch-up procedure. And again, that's another fee that you might have to pay. So these are the ways we do that. We map the cornea. This is not covered by your health insurance, so some surgeons will charge $90 to $100 to get the corneal map. And we can put these incisions in the eye. So relaxing incisions at the time of cataract surgery are one way of correcting astigmatism if you don't want to wear glasses. And the other way is to put an implant in the eye that has two different powers and two different meridians to correct the astigmatism. And we'll show you that. So this is a corneal map. If you had no astigmatism, this would all be the same color. This little reddish-yellow zone is like a bow tie, like a man's bow tie. That represents the astigmatism. So once you know where the astigmatism is, you can plan the surgery. So in this case, you'd want an incision up here, another one down here to minimize this astigmatism. So the surgeon marks your eye carefully at the time of cataract surgery to line up the axis of the astigmatism. And here's a relaxing incision placed just inside the white part of the eye. And that would be the kind of incision that would correct the astigmatism that you just saw in that previous topography map. Here's incisions placed inside the white part of the eye here. So those are relaxing incisions that would correct astigmatism across this meridian. This is what we had been doing for probably 20 years until about 5 years ago when toric implants became available. And the toric implant is a little more predictable way of correcting this. But to get a toric implant, you have to pay the surgery center approximately $500 for the cost of that implant. And then you're going to pay the surgeon for the extra steps it takes to line up your astigmatism, map you, and so forth. So this can cost you anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000, depending on whether you're in Beverly Hills or Costa Mesa, to decide which your fees are going to be. So these fees vary according to the area that it's being done. This is a toric implant, and you notice on this implant there's these little dots. This is the axis of the astigmatism. When the surgeon puts a monofocal lens in, it doesn't matter the orientation of that lens because it has the same power across all meridians. When the surgeon is putting in a toric implant, this has to be aligned with the axis of the astigmatism, and that's done before the surgery. Now here's one of my favorite words, presbyopia. Presbyopia is a Greek word really actually meaning old person or old eyes. So if you're over 40, you're getting early presbyopia. So as we get into your 40s, everybody's going to need glasses. So in ophthalmology, we tell you, if we don't get you early because you're nearsighted, we're going to get you late when you get presbyopic. So eventually, everybody's going to need glasses for something. So the reason that we get presbyopic is the lens of the eye loses its elasticity. So here's the lens focusing for distance and here's focusing for near. And as we get older, the lens becomes more rigid and doesn't change its shape. The muscle works, but the lens doesn't change shape and you end up needing reading glasses. So this is the decline, this is the focusing of the eye. As we're young, we have plenty of focusing power, as you see up in here. And then as we get into the 40s and 50s and 60s, you have almost no focusing power by the time you're 70, and you're going to need reading glasses. So if you have standard cataract surgery, and the surgeon corrects your astigmatism, and you get lucky and he hits a home run, and you have good distance vision, you're still going to need glasses to read. And there are ways for correcting that now, too. So one way is to just wear glasses. So you can go to the drugstore and get a pair of glasses. You can get prescription glasses. Monovision is what we did before we had these multiple focus implants. Monovision is correct one eye for far and one eye for near. And a lot of patients are used to that because they've done that with contact lenses. So if you've done that with contact lenses, that's a good option for you if you need cataract surgery. And the one nice thing about that is there's no additional fees involved for monovision. The surgeon just implants a different power in one eye than in the other eye. So one eye sees better up close, the other eye sees better from far away. So that's a multifocal implant. And then there's an accommodating implant that's supposed to change its shape. So one of the key questions for this, how important is it for you to not wear glasses? You see what I'm doing, I'm wearing glasses. So I've had cataract surgery in my right eye, which was an interesting experience for me, you know, hearing all the noises and knowing what was going on. But I can tell you it was a very painless, very fast operation, gave me a great result, and I have great vision in this eye for far away, but I can't read this computer screen without my progressive bifocals. So I didn't choose to have a multifocal implant because I wasn't willing to take the slight risk of having more halos and glare at night that these multifocals can cause, which you usually don't have to deal with a monofocal implant. So you have to decide, do you want this and are you willing to pay extra for this? This will hopefully never be covered by your health insurance. We have enough problems with health insurance in the United States without paying for luxury items, you know, like having facelifts and having your breasts made larger and stuff like that. People want that, that's fine, but they should pay for that. And if you want to get rid of your glasses after cataract surgery, I think you should pay for that also. So right now, you have to pay for these additional fees. And these are the different types of implants. So monovision is one eye near, one eye far. That's a multifocal, that's a monofocal implant with only one power in the lens. So good candidates for this are people that have previously worn contact lenses and were satisfied with it. And is it surprising to you that women are more adaptable to this than men? It's not surprising to me. So in all the studies that have been done that about monovision, whether it's monovision LASIK or monovision after cataract surgery, women have a higher success rate at monovision than men. Men are worried about making putts on the golf course, hitting the tennis ball. Women want to go out to dinner and not put their glasses on and read the menu. So all of the studies, and here's one of the studies by a friend of ours in Chicago, Dr. Azar, showed that it was much more successful in women than in men, but the success rate is pretty high with monovision. Unfortunately, we can't demonstrate monovision to you before surgery because you've got a cataract and you can't see clearly. You can demonstrate monovision to LASIK patients because they have good vision. So here was 90% of the cataract patients were satisfied with monovision as a method of correcting their vision. And all of these had monovision implant, monofocal implants, so they didn't have to pay extra for their monovision. So that's one of the first options that your surgeon might discuss with you. And then as far as accommodating and multifocal implants, there's three approved in the United States, Crystalens, Restore, and Tecnis. This is the Crystalens, which is designed, it's a flexible lens made out of silicone, and they think this lens, because it's soft, can flex in the eye as you try to focus. So you have distance vision and reading vision out of the same eye. This doesn't always work as well, and I don't particularly favor this lens. It can work great in some cases. One of the advantages is because it has a monofocal type of construction, you're not likely to have halos and glare from this lens. Even though it might not work great, you probably won't be unhappy with your night vision. So that's the crystal lens, and it's very popular, and a lot of doctors prefer this as their method of correcting vision for patients who want to pay extra. This is the Alcon Restore lens, and what it does, it has a series of little circles in it. So these circles give you the reading power, just like in a progressive bifocal where the bottom of the lens has the reading power, and then the peripheral part of the vision gives you the distance vision. But you can imagine these little circles, even though they're only a few microns high, when light hits that, it can scatter the light a little bit in the eye and can produce a slightly higher incidence of nighttime halos and glare. Although most patients are very satisfied with this as a method of correcting their vision, 80% of the patients with this lens compared to 8% with the monofocal lens said they never wear glasses. So it's one very good option for you if you're willing to pay more and if you're highly motivated not to wear reading glasses. So these are some other questions about, you know, the success rate. Do you wear them? How often do you wear them? A little bit, a lot. And for the most part, patients were successful with this. Now, this is the visual disturbances. So if you look at the night vision problems, glare, or halos, you know, moderate amounts or severe amounts are rare. Only 4% of the patients basically with the Restore said that they had severe problems with their night vision as it compared to 2% with a monofocal implant. So you might have to expect that you might have a little higher incidence of nighttime vision problems with these. So these are the options. It does provide excellent vision for near and distance, pretty much spectacle-free, and a high patient satisfaction. This is the last thing I'm going to talk briefly about is femtosecond-assisted cataract surgery. And that's going to be starting this year in the United States. Here's a video of a laser creating the capsular excess that we currently have to do by hand. The laser has been chopped up, the lens has been chopped up with these little cubes. The surgeon is just reaching in now and pulling out this little piece of the capsule to complete the surgery.
Right, and the laser made all of the insertion holes that the doctors use.
Yeah, this is a new technique that's going to be coming available probably this year. We have one ordered at our laser center. A lot of the academic centers will be getting these systems. And it's an interesting approach. You know, we've talked about lasers in eye surgery for years. But up till now, we haven't used it for cataract surgery. You can see the laser is making little cubes out of the nucleus, which makes the lens nucleus easier to then aspirate. So this is another thing that's not going to be covered by your health insurance, unfortunately. If you want laser-assisted cataract surgery with a bifocal implant or toric implant, it's not going to be covered on your traditional surgery. So in conclusion, we think that's going to be a big advance. It's going to make the surgery safer and more predictable, and that's the hottest topic in cataract surgery. Is laser-assisted cataract surgery, which will become available this year. I hope I covered most of the points. Thank you very much. I'd be happy to answer questions after the session.
Actually, right, should we, you want to take a couple of questions?
Yep, we have time too.
Please, I'd like to get maybe two or three short questions in general. Not, my doctor told me this, this, and this, what should I do? Okay, do you have any general questions about what, yes, sir?
How does all this apply to keratoconus? I'm developing cataracts and I also have keratoconus.
Well, if you have keratoconus, as you know, your best vision is with a hard contact lens.
That's what I have one now.
Right, and you're also usually quite nearsighted. So the contact lens is correcting your astigmatism and correcting your nearsightedness. The nearsighted part will be corrected beautifully by the implant. They're going to choose an implant so that your vision without glasses will be far better than your vision without glasses now. But the implant and the lasers are not going to correct your keratoconus. So to correct the irregular part of your astigmatism, you'll still need a hard contact lens for your best vision, but you're going to see quite well compared to what you see now when you don't have your contacts in. So it's going to make the surgery better for you because it's going to be safer and more predictable, but you're not a good candidate for these multifocals. You might be a candidate for a toric implant, though, to correct some of your astigmatism.
Okay.